Blog Talk Radio.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available, committed to buying only from the growers when they can, and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESP Botanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Get ready for the epic movie documentary adventure ride of your life. Shades, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. And Bellas and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed the world economy, bring in a worldwide police state, but instead it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Up, speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at WilliamLewisFilms.com. Get your DVDs today at WilliamLewisFilms.com. Educate against the police state.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Forever, author of salvation. Blessings and welcome to the Tuesday Afternoon Fellowship of the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries Program. I'm your host, the Lord's Servant Emmanuel here, and I'm having some issues, my brothers and sisters, that I'm trying to correct. And while I do that, let me do this.
Blessing and honor, glory and power, be unto the ancient of days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the ancient of days.
What would happen if we truly lived as if all of creation belonged to God? With his new weekly videos, John Stone Street gives us some clues. Stay tuned to Breakpoint.
From the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's Eric Metaxas with Breakpoint.
As you may know, when Chuck Colson passed away, I was asked to become co-host of Breakpoint along with my friend John Stone Street. At least for me anyway, it's been great. I love working and talking with John. He's a clear thinker, he loves Christ, and he has an absolute passion and talent for teaching Christian worldview, sort of like the guy who started Breakpoint 20-some years ago. In fact, John's passion made him the natural choice to pick up another of Chuck's favorite projects, The 2-Minute Warning, video commentaries posted each week at breakpoint.org. And while Chuck loved commenting about hot-button issues on the 2-Minute Warning, toward the end he more and more wanted to return to fundamental worldview teaching. So that's just what John Stone Street is doing now with his new weekly video commentary called Re-Engage. It's fantastic. John's premise is simple and powerful. Every square inch of creation and human endeavor belongs to God. From the very moment of the fall, God has been passionately active in the world, renewing creation, reconciling and redeeming mankind to himself in Jesus Christ. Of course, you'll recognize that John is echoing and carrying on the teaching of Chuck and one of Chuck's favorite theologians, Abraham Kuyper. And with Re-Engage, John's doing it in a way that is, well, engaging. I would urge you to visit breakpoint.org and check it out today. You can subscribe to get the videos each week, and please share them. We've made that easy to do through Facebook, Twitter, or email, especially with those college age and 20-somethings in your life. Through his work at Summit Ministries, John knows how to connect them to the timeless truths of the faith. John will look at everything, culture, politics, art, family, government, as if it belongs to God, because, as John says, it does. Take this week's episode, for example, which airs today at breakpoint.org. John talks about Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent, which we've just entered. Almost all of us think of Ash Wednesday as the day when people get ashes smudged on their heads in the form of a cross as a sign of repentance, and of course it is. But as John tells us, Ash Wednesday is also a bold proclamation of the human condition, as well as a bold condemnation of the most cherished values and assumptions of modern secularism. First, it's a reminder that we are sinful people who have strayed from God's plan. This, of course, is the polar opposite of the modern therapeutic view of spirituality that urges people to, well, give in to their urges. Second, Ash Wednesday is a reminder of our mortality. When the priest or pastor places ashes on a person's forehead on Ash Wednesday, he says, "Thou art dust, and to dust thou shalt return." Contrast this view with today's culture that wants us to deny or ignore our mortality at all costs, that tells us we can control our own destinies even though we cannot. Third, Ash Wednesday is a reminder that our greatest needs as human beings are spiritual needs. It's a day of fasting and self-denial at the beginning of an entire season of fasting and self-denial, not exactly the if-it-feels-good-do-it mentality of modern culture. This is just the kind of worldview teaching that you'll find every single week when you watch John Stone Street's Re-Engage. I'm hoping you'll do that. I'm hoping that you'll tune in at breakpoint.org, because I know that I will. For Breakpoint, this is Eric Metaxas.
Help make the invisible kingdom visible. Attend the Wilberforce Weekend Conference, April 26th through 28th in Arlington, Virginia. For registration information, visit wilberforceweekend.org, or we'll link you up at breakpoint.org.
All right, my brothers and sisters, that's going to be astounding, and we'll look into Re-Engage with John Stone Street and see just where he's coming from. Amen? Amen. Trying to work out some problems here, and with the Lord's will, we will endure and continue forth. I got something that I'm trying to get on for you guys, and we'll get into it. I'll try and get it on after our break, our first commercial break, we're coming up here in a minute. And when we come back, hopefully I'll have things a bit more situated. There are some things going on, and you need to know about it. And Sound Doctrine Ministries is there and on for things because we need to know the truth. The truth is of God. Love is of God. You cannot separate the two. So, all right, my brothers and sisters, stay tuned. We will be right back. We're so glad that you joined us, and we have some breakpoint commentaries coming up as well for this week. And I've got to get this uploaded for you. You've got to hear this. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries program.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solavay. And Solavay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have Solavay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solavay. You sign up enough people, and Solavay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to Solavay.com/freedomizer. That's Solavay, Solavei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, Solavay.com/freedomizer.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Oh, wow.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea. Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
Hey campers, this is your Uncle Scott here. I want you to join me this Friday night on freedomizerradio.com at 9 p.m. Pacific Time as I welcome Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist and investigative comedian. He is a journalist, author, artist, radio host, stand-up lecturer on many contemporary myths of science, politics, and culture. He has broken national stories of pharmaceutical madness, been published widely in print and on the web, and has worked on and featured in films that have...
We are Critical Immunity with Larry and Renee. Our show will cover current events, national health news, nutrition, emergency preparedness, and organic farming, and various implements and tools to thrive and survive. We hope you tune in and join in our discussion of health, liberty, preparedness, and survival. Join our hosts, Larry and Renee, with guest callers always welcome.
And you're listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom. All right, my brothers and sisters, we are back. And the Citizens Court in Canada has been holding the proceedings, the hearings of genocide. Their verdict. And I'm trying to get this on for you guys so that it can be a matter of record. Let us go to these proceedings and see what was going on. Amen? Amen. Bear with me, my brothers and sisters. I'll try and get it on for you right now. Monday, February.
Final jury in the matter of the People versus Canada, the Crown of England, the Vatican, and the Anglican, Catholic, and United Church of Canada, their officers and authorities for crimes against humanity and criminal conspiracy. Case number one in the docket of... Let it be known and duly reported that the verdict from the jury members reads as follows. After...
Wow. Come home. Come home. Come home. What is going on? What is going on? Bear with me, my brothers and sisters. The final verdict of the court's citizen jury in the matter of the people versus Canada, the Crown of England, the Vatican, and the Anglican Catholic and United Church of Canada, and their officers and other parties for crimes against humanity and a criminal conspiracy. Case number one in the docket of the court. Let it be known and duly recorded that the verdict from the jury members reads as follows. After careful deliberation of all the evidence and facts presented to us, and in the absence of any case or response by the defendants, it is the unanimous verdict of we, the citizen jury of the International Common Law Court of Justice, that 1. The 30 named defendants in this case are guilty as charged on the two indictments. That is, they are guilty of committing or aiding and abetting crimes against humanity and of being part of an ongoing criminal conspiracy, and that 2, the named defendants in this case shall receive the full sentence recommended by the prosecution. We, the jury, hereby declare our free and unanimous decision and discharge our duty under the common law. We thank the court for granting us this responsibility, dated this 21st day of February in the year 2013. This court recognizes the validity and lawfulness of the decision of these jurors according to the common law precedent that a quorum of 12 citizens is required and sufficient for any just and lawful verdict. It is now the duty of this court to confirm this verdict and impose sentencing and enforcement against the defendants. This court therefore finds the 30 named defendants in this case and their institutions guilty as charged on the two counts of the indictment of having committed or aided and abetted crimes against humanity and of being part of an ongoing criminal conspiracy. The court imposes the following sentence on the defendants and their institutions. 1. Each of the defendants is hereby sentenced to 25 years involuntary confinement in a public correction facility without the possibility of parole. 2. The personal assets and property of each of the defendants is forthwith confiscated and will be distributed to the victims of their actions and policies or to the surviving members of the victims' families. The assets and property of the institutions of which the defendants are the responsible officers are hereby publicly expropriated and are declared to be the commonwealth and property of the people as a whole. In addition, the archives, records, and facilities of these institutions are declared open and are henceforth in the possession of the people. 4. These institutions of church and state are henceforth and forever legally, politically, and morally disestablished, are prohibited from operating or existing within our communities or anywhere within the jurisdiction of the common law and the law of nations, including the 15 nations represented in this court. These institutions are permanently banned from our midst. 5. All of the citizens of these nations, and within the jurisdiction of the common law and the law of nations, are hereby and forever enjoined and ordered to abide by and enforce this sentence. These citizens are hereby authorized to act as legal agents of this court and this sentence by peacefully occupying and seizing the property, assets, and movable articles of these institutions of church and state, and declaring them under the common ownership of the people. 6. The peace officers of these nations are hereby instructed to assist in the enforcement of this just sentence, and in this process of peaceful reclamation, by adhering to their oath of office, and keep the peace by protecting the agents of the court and others engaged in the enforcement of this sentence. 7. The legal agents of the court and all those citizens who act to enforce the sentence are, as of March 4, 2013, armed with an international citizen's arrest and reclamation warrant to be issued by the court that authorizes them to enter any facility of the defendants and immediately detain them and their accessories in order to enforce this sentence. 8. Finally, the court orders the continued investigation of the crimes of the defendants and their institutions and their accessories. The cost of this case and subsequent cases arriving from this sentence are levied on the assets of the defendants and their accessories. The defendants are hereby given 7 days from this date to voluntarily surrender themselves and their assets and property to the agents and common law peace officers of the court, or face immediate arrest and confinement by our agents and common law peace officers according to the sentence. A court order is hereby issued to that effect. After 7 days, commencing on March 4th, 2013, these court officers will begin to make such arrests and enforcements. As of that date, March 4, 2013, the property and assets of the named institutions can be lawfully and legally occupied and seized by these officers and all citizens who act to enforce the sentence of the court. The court excuses the jury members and declares its proceedings concluded. This court is adjourned until the commencement of the next case in its docket. Issued and entered into the permanent record of the International Common Law Court of Justice, Monday, February 25th, 2013.
Okay. The International Common Law Court of Justice in the City of Brussels court order. And it's dated February 25th, 2013. Defendant in the court case of docket number 001 in the matter of the people versus the government of Canada and the Crown of England, the Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church, the Church of England, Anglican and the United Church of Canada, and the officers of these corporations and other parties are ordered to surrender themselves voluntarily to the peace officers and agents authorized by this court, having been found guilty as charged and duly sentenced to this court. Issued to the following defendants: Joseph Ratzinger, the Pope, Alfredo Nicholas Pashon, Superior General of Society of Jesus or Deseret Order, Vatican City, Cisco Bertrand, Secretariat of State, Vatican City, Angelo Sodano, College of Cardinals, Vatican City, Angelo Bigancinco, College of Cardinals, Vatican City, Pedro Lopez, Quintina, Papal Nacio to Canada, Ottawa, Elizabeth Windsor, alias Queen of England, Buckingham Palace, London, Roman Williams, Archbishop of Canterbury, London, Fred Hill, Primate of Anglican Church in Canada, Toronto, Bob Bennett, Bishop of Huron Diocese, London, Ontario, Stephen Harper, Prime Minister of Canada, Ottawa, Mary Sinclair, Chair of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, Winnipeg, John Malloroy, T. TRC officer, Petersburg, Ontario, Nora Sanders, General Secretary of the United Church of Canada, Gary Peterson, moderator of the United Church of Canada, Robert Paulson, superintendent of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police of Canada, Ottawa, Peter Montagu, Inspector E, Division RCMP, Vancouver, Daniel Fulton, Chief Executive Officer of Weinerhauser Logan Corporation, Seattle, Ron Hunity of Law Society of British Columbia, Vancouver, Terry White, former Chairman of St. Andrew's United Church, Port Alberini, Sean Artilo, Grand Chief Assembly of First Nations Ottawa, William Montour, Chairperson of the Sixth, my brothers and sisters, why isn't any of the media telling us about these things? This must go viral. I am taking it to Facebook now. All of you freedomizers, let me see, can I pull this up? I mean to tell you, I've got to get copies of this everywhere. We need everyone to know what is going on. And why didn't Obama, Kissinger, and all of those cronies make the list? I'm wondering. Because they are just as guilty of these things. These people did not work alone. Obama admitted that he was the servant of the Queen of England openly, publicly, on national television. So he has implemented himself as being part of whatever is going on. We need everyone to know about these things, my brothers and sisters. We need to stand up against these oppressors, because that's exactly what they are. They are oppressors of the people of the world. They're doing all of these things against humanity.
It's gotten out of hand, my brothers and sisters. The poop has hit the propeller. And we will start seeing things going on as soon as March the 4th. Indeed, they are starting to implement their things as soon as Okay, guys. Can you hear me in the chat room? Anyone? Or have I been silenced already? Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Yeah, that's exactly what it's like, Kitty. All right. Okay, thank you, my brothers and sisters. We must let everyone know. There's the link where you can post it yourself to your Facebook page. Sister Kitty, I'm in the same room. Hallelujah. Yeah, my brothers and sisters, there is so much going on. And believe me when I tell you, it's going to get worse before it gets better. They're not going to take it lying down, believe me when I tell you. There's going to be a revolt. And I'm not calling for a revolt, but I'm not calling for us to sit on our hands and do nothing either, because that is not of God. We are commanded in the word of God to relieve the oppressor and to stand against oppression. And that's what we are commanded to do by our Creator. And we will obey God rather than man. Amen? Amen. It is our duty as citizens of the world to, when we know better, we do better. As simple as that. And we know better. And we know the atrocities that these people have committed against humanity. Come for us, because we're coming for you. You're not going to have to look for us, because we're coming for you. I want you all to know that we're going to try and do it peaceably. We're coming in, guns blazing and what have you. We are the people. We elected you all over us and what have you, and we can inadvertently sit you down as well. And this is what happens when good people do something. They stand up and stand against tyranny, oppression, and those that will force their will upon the populace. And it is vital that we all stand together. We can no longer sit by and act like it has nothing to do with us, because it has something to do with all of us, my brothers and sisters. All right, I've placed it on Facebook. Let me place it in the ministry's Facebook page. I'm going to place it on the ministry's website as well. And I encourage everyone, as a matter of fact, when I get off the air, if you are a friend of mine, it will be on your page. I'm going to paste it on all of my friends' pages, Singularity, so all of their friends will see it. And hopefully their friends will paste it on their friends' page. And, you know, it's just time out for this. We can no longer accept being bullied and browbeated and connived and schemed against for the good of their pocket and not the good of the people. Amen? Amen. Let us stay focused. Let us stay prayerful. Our Creator, our Lord and Savior is with us. Let's see, can't we turn this thing around? For it is time out for doing nothing, my brothers and sisters. It is time out for sitting on our thumbs. It's time out for turning a deaf ear and a blind eye. We need to continue to back those that are standing up for what is right. Because if we don't stand for what is right, then we're standing for what is wrong. And our Creator will have nothing to do with us when we allow such things to be committed against his children, because we're all his children. And he's not going to be comfortable with his children standing against those that would do wrong, that would take advantage of the, as they call us, the weaker ones. But we're not the weaker ones, my brothers and sisters. We are the strong ones, because there are more of us than them. We are the ones that are their labor force, their backbones. Yes, they've been recruiting our children, my brothers and sisters. They have been trying their best to turn our very children against us to stand with them against us, because they knew that the time was coming when we were going to take a stand. They knew it wasn't going to be long, and they have been implementing the FEMA camps and all of the things that they have been doing because they knew it was coming. And they want to turn our very children against us to help them oppress them, because that's what it's going to be. They're going to be oppressed, and they don't realize it. And those of us who know need to wake up those who don't. Our friends, our families, our associates, our workmates, you know, the people anywhere that we can tell it, we need to tell it now, my brothers and sisters. There was, you know, I knew it was something when all of a sudden the Pope retired. When does the man of God retire from doing what God has called him to do? Goes to show you he wasn't the man of God that he was claiming to be. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't work like that. All right, let us take our next commercial break. And we'll be right back. You are listening to the Sound from Christian Ministries program.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
We know about the Gulf oil spill. We know about problems with voting. We know about environmental toxicity. We know that there are problems about the wars, that our government is not representing the people as we would wish them to represent us. But we also know that there are crystal clear solutions. I'm Patricia Springstead, and I'm heavily involved in making the world a better place.
Every day you try to brainwash people just to have things go your way.
Trisha Springstead on Freedomizer Radio. Crystal clear solutions.
Well, tell me what you're gonna do when you're well and dry.
C is for cookie. And that's good enough for me. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Saturdays. I love you, Miss Cookie. Join Cookie and
good
me
job
on See the Power in You.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here: there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio.
They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hey there, Freedomizers. This is JC from the Sports Lounge. Join us for 3 hours on Saturdays as we take a break from politics to discuss sports at freedomizerradio.com. Come and join us each Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Pacific, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern.
Hi, this is Mary Lou Van Houten, co-host and producer of Getz and Rising on FreedomizerRadio.com. Join host Libby Gadsden and me every Monday through Thursday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk with cutting-edge guests about the truth of a variety of topics. We are 100% free speech. Getz and Rising on Freedomizer Radio, because you can handle the truth.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day, and I'd say that that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Rob Nellen Live is a show exposing the fallacy of the right-left paradigm while promoting liberty and freedom. A plethora of guests will challenge the establishment, mainstream media, the New World Order, and hopefully you. Listen to Rob Nellen Live Sundays between 3 and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where Freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Woke up early this morning, followed me right on time. I said, Lord, I truly thank you for opening up these eyes of mine. As I went over to my window, and while looking through the shade, once again I had to tell him, thank you, Lord. Let me see another day. The sun was bright and shining. The wind was blowing not too strong. In a treetop just a few feet away was a robin singing his song. I don't know what he was singing. Pretty soon he was on his way. Who can say what the fear may for? Say, thank you for another day. Everybody ought to praise his name. Be thankful and praise his name. Everybody ought to praise his name. Well, well, cause if a robin can say thank you, you can do it too. Where the sun was bright and shining, the wind was blowing not too strong. In a treetop just a few feet away was a robin singing his song. I don't know what he was saying. Pretty soon he was on his way. Who can say what he is made for? Say, thank you for another day. Everybody ought to praise his name. Be thankful and praise his name. Everybody ought to praise his name. Well, well, cause if a robin can say thank you, you can do it too. Ah, yeah, praise his name. Be thankful and praise his name. Everybody ought to praise his name. Well, well, cause if a robin can say thank you, you can do it too. Oh, oh, your praise his name. But if a writer can say thank you, you can do it too. Praise his name. Be thankful and praise his name. Everybody ought to praise his name. Cause if a writer can say thank you, you can do it. Oh, you ought to praise his name. Be thankful and praise his name. Everybody ought to praise his name. Cause if a writer can say thank you, you can do it too.
Amen. Praise and bless his holy name. Hallelujah. From everlasting to everlasting. Hallelujah. We will praise the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, and our Heavenly Father, the Lord God Jehovah, the great I Am, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the source of life itself. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, I am just elated that we are not in this fight alone. Amen. Truly, there are some pretty devastating things that are going on today. And chime in with us, will you? Our number here is 347-324-3704. Chime in with us and let us know, you know, your reaction to the international Citizens Court's verdict of guilty against the Pope and the Church of Canada and the Queen of England. Tell us what you think. Once again, our number here is 347-324-3704. Let us hear from you. All right. It's so much I'd like to do. Just don't have enough time on Tuesdays. Okay, let us go to the phone lines. Area code 915, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, hello, Ken. How are you, my friend?
Brother Larry, where you been, bro?
Oh, out and about, just doing my job, you know, seeing the country, being a paid tourist and all that kind of stuff, you know. Hey, what was
I
this? You're talking about
right.
An international court?
Yeah. The International Common Law Court of Justice.
Doing what? They're like, what was I missed?
They convened in Brussels, and they found the Queen of England, the Prime Minister of Canada, the Pope, the head officers of the Catholic Church, the Angelic and United Church of Canada, and they found them all guilty of crimes against humanity.
And for the actions of what? What did they do that they're being charged?
Well, it's a whole list of things. Let me see.
I mean, anything to do with child slavery in Saudi Arabia or anything like that, or?
Well,
superficial.
I'm quite sure. I'm quite sure.
Are you in Africa now? Did you leave for Africa?
No. The trip, I didn't get the funding I needed to get there. And do you know these people are actually postponing this until Resurrection Sunday to give me a chance to try and get there?
Why not? Anyway,
praise the Lord.
Maybe it's a blessing in disguise. You know, sometimes God wants us to wait for things. What were their actions that they were being charged with? Although I could think of numerous ones, but please enlighten me. And Canada, of all places, where it's against the law to speak out against homosexuality as a sin, even though the Bible says an abomination unto the Lord, but then again, so is witchcraft. But anyway, yes. What?
Well, they said it was about. It was. They had more than they did nearly a month of deliberations by more than 30 sworn citizen jurors of the 150 case exhibited produced by the court's prosecutors. These exhibited details infallible proof of a massive massive criminal conspiracy by the defendant's institutions to commit and conceal genocide on generations of children in so-called Indian residential schools across Canada. None of the defendants challenged or disputed the public sermons issued to them last September, nor did they deny the charges made against them or offer the court evidence against it.
Well, what about the big pharma companies and Monsanto and Dow
and
their subsidiaries? By the way, hi, everybody out there. Hello, people in the chat. I don't want to seem like I'm forgetting about them because they're our friends.
They're
our brothers and sisters, you know.
Exactly.
Texas State Highway Patrol that's going past me as we speak. Hello there, Mr. Police Officer. Bye-bye. Thank you for not giving me a ticket. Anyway, yes, I'm behaving myself, by the way.
Amen. Wait, now, I saw... Okay, here we go. Here they are. Let's see. I'm trying to find you. That was a good question, Brother Larry. I could always count on you. Always could count on you, my brother. Come up with just what I need. I'm finding here they have the... everything listed. Let me see. Can I find the specific charges?
If you leave it up to me, they all get hung. Short rope, tall tree. Their toes don't touch the ground.
I don't think so. I don't believe they are deserving of death. I believe that they should see the gate clang on them every night in prison for the rest of their life.
Well, we could put them in prison, give them injections of the vaccine that they forced on other people, and feed them their GMO food that they forced other people to eat. I think that would be a poetic justice.
Pretty much.
Yes. Let them get DeAndre syndrome and all that.
I disagree with that. I couldn't disagree
and
at
give
all,
them the, yeah, give them the vaccine for the papillomavirus and watch them have blood come out of every pore in their body. Yes, that's quite fitting. I think, you know, but anyway.
Yeah, that would be more befitting than
would
just
be
going
true.
On killing them, you know. No,
yeah,
we're going to let
yeah.
God do that. But what we're going to do is just what you were going to do to us. We're going to lock you up and let them steel bars close on you every night for the rest of your life.
Along with the injections, you have to give them the vaccine injections. You don't want them to get sick now, do you? Heaven forbid they get flu or any kind of... We don't want them getting cervical cancer, so we have to give them the... papillomavirus, yes. You know, they want to do the papillomavirus vaccine, even though boys don't have a cervix.
Well, you know, we're just, Brother Larry, you're a handful, my brother.
Thank you. Actually, I just tried to put things in realistic perspective, that's all.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. They really did their excuse. They did not want boys to get cervical cancer. And then they say, see, it works. Boys don't get cervical cancer. Well, duh, boys don't have a cervix.
Oh, man.
But these people are so evil. They deserve to have those injections. Day of the year, they're incarcerated. Life with no possibility of parole.
Well, the sentence is 25 years without the possibility of parole.
Yes.
They eat
GMO food every day of the year, and they get extra servings on the holidays, and they get their vaccines every year. because we don't want them to get flu and things like that.
Oh, God forbid.
No. And also, the same vaccines we give them as well. Like the feline leukemia vaccine, which is what causes feline leukemia. Well, let's make sure that they don't get feline leukemia and give them that shot as well. I would not want to leave them out. I don't want to be giving them of anything. Okay? I'm a very fair person. And the rabies vaccine as well. Because I don't want them to get rabies while they're sitting in prison.
Yeah, with the rats. There are going to be a lot of rats there. So, yeah, it would be imperative that they have the rabies vaccine. Yeah, I'll go along with that one.
Yes. I mean, the very same vaccines they kill our pets and us with, we should make sure they get, just so that they don't get any weird diseases. Yes. And then quarantine them, because you never know. You have to keep them away from the rest of the population. Because some people that aren't in there under their charges eventually do get out. So, anyway, how have you been, my friend? I don't talk to you much these days. I'm rather busy, you know?
Yeah. Ever since you got your show, you've been devoted all your time there, and you've kicked us to the curb.
Oh, please. Don't even go there. I still call in and listen once in a while. It's just, you know, I drive down the road, and I take rest when I can, and I have to get my Bible reading in some point in time, and eat,
brother,
care of my dog, and take care of me.
You've been around so much
and,
at one point, I started to offer you the co-host spot. Then
ahead,
all of a sudden, nothing. Nothing. You just you threw us under the bus.
Well, at the time, you know, I really never did want to have a show of my own. And between you, Valerie Sergeant Martin, Proof, Blake, Brian, and quite a few others going, dude, you would do good, man. Have a show of your own. And I took your advice. And now let's listen to you laying guilt trip on me. And you're one of them who told me.
I should really do a show of your own. I didn't want you to forget about us.
I don't forget about you. I listen. Sometimes I may not talk on the radio, and I've been kind of sick past week anyway. I had gotten the flu, and
I'm fighting a flu now. But I broke that fever last night, and I didn't have to get a shot either.
Shot will only make you worse. Shots will make you sicker. But yeah, I know I got it too.
So.
And I've been driving.
My mom from Pine Bluff, Arkansas, Larry. Believe me, I got all the advice I need on what to do to take care of myself.
Amen. Yeah, I told my dispatcher I'm down for the count. And what's he do? The very next day says, well, dude, we have a load we need you to get. It's an emergency. I'm like, well, my being sick isn't an emergency? Well, it's a short trip. I'm in Layton, Utah, and to go from Layton, Utah to Albuquerque, a little over about 670 miles, that was a short trip, but to do it in a day, okay? I'm like, crap, when do I get to rest? So I've been running ever since, man.
Well, you know, I understand, my brother. We have to do what we have to do.
Meanwhile, speaking of which, on with the show. Do the show. who's going to put the queen in jail?
I'm hoping someone else will call in with their insight, 347-324-3704.
Yeah.
Now, what'd you say, Brother Larry?
Who's going to put the queen in jail?
Who's going to put him in jail? Is that what you said?
Yes, and what about Von Rumpy? Shouldn't he be put up on charges? Of course, he'll
What about Barry? What about Sakara? Barry?
Well,
yeah.
Him, and, well, he's just a puppet, though. What about his puppet masters?
You know
the
what? Everyone
his
involved.
The big banksters? Yes. The banksters?
Yeah, everyone involved. Everyone
but, you know,
involved. You know, and
if
we,
a man
and
comes
you know,
up,
if you
listen,
know.
If a man comes up and does all this, though, you know he'll be the Antichrist. Do not praise him and worship him until you see Yeshua HaMashiach come down through the clouds out of the sky. And I'm not talking about a hologram Operation Bluebeam. I'm talking about the real deal, and you'll know when he's real because he'll have lightning come out as his words. But anyway, the Antichrist could very well put all these people in prison and say, see, look what I did. Watch out for that, man.
It's that possibility, and we need to be aware. Let's go. We got another caller. Area code 909. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello. You had to unmute me before I could be heard.
Sister Tessa, God bless you.
Hi. You know they've
been... I missed you, Tessa. I've been looking for you. I've missed you.
Well, I've been around. I just got real busy with stuff that took me out of the house at the wrong time.
I understand. Well, we've got about 6 minutes left. Tell me what you think, Tessa. Tell me what you think about all this, Sister Tessa.
Well, they've been doing this to us for all of recorded history and probably before. They want most of us dead and the rest of us docile, stupid slaves.
Yeah. And it's a shame
Hitler
it's like that.
Hitler wasn't the only one.
No, he
just
wasn't.
A puppet, a tool.
He was the face. Exactly. He definitely had people higher up than him calling the shots.
Well, there's plenty of evidence that he was drugged and hypnotized, probably by the Thule Society, before he ever rose to power. And they put him there. He was not a nice man anyway, but he was used.
Mm-hmm. So
what are they doing now?
You think it's going to be a revolt, Sister Tessa? I don't believe they're going to go willingly at all.
Well, as Dr. King once said, I'm paraphrasing, the greatest danger is when good people fail to speak up.
Amen. Amen. And that's when evil triumphs, when good people do nothing. And, you know, that's against the word of God. The word of God commands us to relieve the oppressor and to stand against oppression and to help those that are being oppressed. So we are to take the cause of those that are being oppressed and, you know, we're to stand against it. There is always more of us than few that, you know, are in charge, and, you know, they might have they little soldiers and what have you, but you know what? They're no match for the people. They're no match for the people. And the people need to realize that we are the ones that have the power. We are the ones that, you know, can actually determine, you know, how this actually plays out. Either we determine it by doing nothing and just let the chips fall where they may, or we can stand up and turn against it and turn this thing around. It's all up to the people.
Yeah. I'm thinking of an old movie called Network.
I remember that. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Exactly.
Amen. And we should be past that point, Sister Tessa, by my account. We should be past that. It makes no sense what I see going on day to day. Nothing is the way it should be. Everything has gone back. We're going to hell, and the so-called body of Christ is accepting all of this in the name of love, you know. But okay, if we're doing everything in the name of love, where is our love? You know, where's the love for us? For what we believe in.
Tolerate. When do we have to be tolerated?
Exactly. Since we're going to be fair about it, you know, you can't sit up and tell me to go along with you and you refuse to go along with me. That dog won't hunt. You know, I'm sorry. That's not going to work for me, no.
What was that old song? You never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine.
Ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, we got to get out of here, Sister Tessa. Thank you all. Thank you for calling. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you, Erico 209. I'm sorry I didn't get you on. God bless you. We love you. If the Lord's will, we'll be back here again on Saturday for the Sabbath show. You can also catch us on Friday night on the True Frequency Radio Network at 9 p.m. We are doing a three-hour block, and we're trying to get God's truth out. God bless you. We love you. Peace to your homes. Bye.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solavay. And Solavay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer. For as long as they have Solavay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solavay. You sign up enough people, and Solavay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to solavay.com/freedomizer. That's Solavay, solavei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up 3 people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, solavay.com/freedomizer.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Tune in each Thursday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Debbie Brooke, founder of Homeopathy World Community on Freedomizer Radio, talks about stress management and homeopathy. Get healthy with energy medicine.
C is for cookie, and that's good enough for me. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Saturdays. I love you, Miss Cookie. Join Cookie and
good
me
job
on See the Power in You.
We know about the Gulf oil spill. We know about problems with voting. We know about environmental toxicity. We know that there are problems about the wars that our government is not representing the people as we would wish them to represent us. But we also know that there are crystal clear solutions. I'm Patricia Springstead, and I'm heavily involved in making the world a better place.
Every day you try to brainwash people just to have things go your way.
Trisha Springstead on Freedomizer Radio. Crystal clear solutions.
Well, tell me what you're gonna do when you're well and dry.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Hi, Libby. Hello, Mary Lou, and this is Gadsden Rising. I'm Libby Gadsden. Welcome to the show, everybody. And our special guest today is Tom DeWeese. And Mary Lou, can you please tell the audience about Tom?
Yes, Tom is one of the nation's leading advocates of individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, personal privacy, back to basics education, and American sovereignty and independence. A resident of Virginia since 1982, Tom is a native of Ohio. He's been a candidate for the Ohio legislature, served as editor of two newspapers, and has owned several businesses since the age of 23. In 1989, Tom led the only privately funded election observation team to the Panamanian elections. In 2006, Tom was invited to Cambridge University to debate the issue of the United Nations before the Cambridge Union, a 200-year-old debating society. Today, he serves as founder and president of the American Policy Center, AmericanPolicy.org, editor of the DeWeese Report, which is DeWeesereport.com, and author of the book Now Tell Me I Was Wrong. Tom was one of the first to voice concern over the radical agenda of the environmental movement and to question its motives. Since 1992, he has been sounding the alarm against the UN's Agenda 21 and its policy of sustainable development as a threat to private property rights, free markets, and American sovereignty and independence. For 40 years, Tom has been a businessman, grassroots activist, writer, and publisher. As such, he has always advocated a firm belief in man's need to keep moving forward while protecting our constitutionally guaranteed rights. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Tom. It's great to talk to you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you, Tom. I want to start off with talking about your work with against the UN's Agenda 21 and its policy of sustainable development as a threat to property rights, because this is something I think we could all use a little education about. At least I could.
Well, this is something that came about in it started in 1992 at the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro. It had about 50,000 people, bureaucrats, non-governmental organizations, heads, about 179 heads of state, all met at that Earth Summit in 92 to, you know, the concern at that point was man's degradation of the environment and what to do about it. That was the excuse that the whole thing was put together. And what came out of that was a massive agenda to literally transform human society based on the environment. It cut across national lines. In fact, those who advocated don't believe in nation states. They believe we should all be one world. They've been implementing these policies step by step down to the local level. And essentially it's this. If you want to take their word for it, and I have great questions about this, but if you just take it in general, that, you know, some people think that the planet is in danger of global warming and overconsumption, and that they really believe that the only way to fix the problem is to control the flow of resources and wealth, which literally means changing human civilization and the way we live. And the problem with that, the reason I've been working on this issue for so long and we find this to be such a great danger, is that this kind of forced transformation necessarily leads to, in some people, a thirst for power and top-down control, and that can eventually can and will lead to tyranny. And this is what we're finding happening. the people who are promoting these policies, first of all, they deny Agenda 21, even though 50,000 people were there. And then in 2012, they had a 20-year reunion called Rio Plus 20, and 40,000 people were there, all celebrating what they did 20 years ago. But they don't. This doesn't exist. This is just a conspiracy theory they keep saying. But you know, the fact of the matter is, over several years before 1992, the UN held a series of conferences. The first ones were called Habitat conferences. There was Habitat 1 and Habitat 2. At these conferences, they laid the groundwork down about what their goal was. And one of the things that they were focusing on was private property rights, that private property could not be maintained. And in fact, this is the quote from the 1976 Habitat One conference. It said, quote, "Land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals and subject to the pressures and inefficiencies of the market. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth and therefore contributes to social injustice." This laid the groundwork for where we went over the next several decades. That the idea that we were damaging the earth. We can't have private property. Only government has the power to make these changes, and only a central government has the power to really make the changes. You can't even trust nation states. And from that point, you had these non-governmental organizations, the Sierra Club, the Nature Conservancy, the Audubon Society. They, hundreds of these, came together and wrote documents that eventually emerged into the 1992 document of Agenda 21, which was nothing more than a blueprint for how they achieve this goal of a top-down control transforming our very way of life. From that, those same NGO groups came to the United States. George H.W. Bush, president at the time, he signed an agreement to Agenda 21. And then these same NGO groups came into our federal government. They began working with HUD and EPA and HEW and all these other agencies, creating grant programs. These grant programs were designed with strings attached. A community could take these grants, but if they did, they agreed then that they would do certain things like cutting back on energy use, controlling water use, controlling how buildings were built, what kind of materials were used in them, controlling the way that communities were constructed and so forth. Then these same NGO groups went into the state legislatures, and they got them to pass regulations on local communities called comprehensive development plans, and this forced the communities to begin to comply to these regulations. Then those same NGO groups went into the counties and said, I see the state says that you have to do this. Well, gee, we can help. We can help. We've got money from the grants from the federal government, which they helped write, and we've got guidelines. We've got templates on how you, on building codes and all this sort of thing. That's how it came from the United Nations down into your backyard, and the result now is huge damage on private property rights, controls on energy, skyrocketing prices on energy, controls on water, controls on how communities are developed, on and on and on.
So essentially, this is an attack on any kind of localization of property rights. It's a centralization of property laws.
Essentially, you cannot implement the ideals of Agenda 21 or its policy called sustainable development without violating private property rights. It can't be done. Mm-hmm. They, back in 2005, the Supreme Court made the decision in the Kelo case, which literally shocked everybody, saying that we really have no private property rights, that any government, any local government that can take over some property and for the good of the community. For example, let's say there was a Motel 6 sitting on some property, and it would be the community could get more tax money if they built a Ritz-Carlton, or they took a whole community of, you know, little homes, little ranch house homes, tore all those down and built a big expensive high-rise condo unit, and they get more taxes from that. Well, that was for the good of the community, so they had the right to do that using eminent domain. And literally that said there's no private property rights in America from that decision.
Yeah. Well, I want to point out to the audience that there's a Facebook page called National Federation of Republican Assemblies, NFRA, and they can go to that page and read more about it, which I've been doing as you speak. And this is something that affects Americans directly, not just it's a global kind of action on the part of the UN, but this affects Americans in particular. Is that correct?
Well, America is the main target because America has the most private property. America is the richest nation on earth. First of all, Agenda 21, sustainable development, is about one main thing: redistribution of wealth. And you know, you're watching American jobs go overseas. That's part of this process. They flat out talk about how they abhor free enterprise and capitalism, that only government control is the way to go. And so, you know, they begin to attack our companies, making it so American companies can't survive with the rules and regulations that they're forced to live under. And yet, they argue that that's to protect the environment. However, when those companies go to another third world country, that seems to be okay if they, you know, the pollutants and that sort of thing that they're worried about, that they say they're worried about, was okay there. In fact, the United Nations in 1997 adopted the Kyoto Global Warming Accord, which said that industrialized nations like Europe and the United States had to cut back our emissions to 1990 levels. Yet China, Brazil, India were exempt. So is pollution causing the problem? Is that what you have to cut back or not? No, it's about redistribution of wealth. That's the reason for the loophole.
Absolutely. I think that all of the things we are watching right now happening are precisely about the redistribution of wealth, the actions by the Fed, by the bankers, and what we're watching in the military-industrial complex. Wealth is being distributed toward corporations and the government, away from private enterprise. Would you agree with that, Tom?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this goes back also, if you break down, and I'm not doing this, this is their words, to break down sustainable development and what it is, we refer to what they call the three E's. These are three things: social equity, economic prosperity, ecological integrity. The ecological part, the environmental part, is what everybody thinks of when they hear the word sustainable development. Mm-hmm. But social equity is the real thing. I've said many times in talks, if you don't understand the social equity aspect of this, you don't understand the issue of sustainable development. Social equity is literally redistribution of wealth. It is the old socialist idea that nobody can move forward until we all move forward together. I mean, that's a socialist utopia myth that never happens. But that's what that's about. I saw an example the other day, actually from somebody advocating social equity, and they explained it this way: if you are evicted from your home, a rental property, because you can't pay the rent, well, that's the law. However, if you're evicted from that property because you couldn't afford to get a good education to help you get a good job so that you could pay the rent, that's social injustice. So I thought that was pretty clear.
Yeah, it is. And so would you say that the United States is well on their way toward adopting this type of policy?
It's in every single community in the country. It's in every single state government, every single federal agency. If you go on their websites, you will see the word sustainable development everywhere. And and again, as I said in the very beginning, even while we're pointing this out, you've got organizations like the American Planning Association, a planning group that comes in. It's in almost every single community. They bring in programs. You've probably heard the term smart growth. These kinds of things, walkability of the community. The idea is that we'll all live in our little community and we won't have to drive. We walk to work. We have the post office right there. We've got our restaurants. Everything is right here. We're living in high rises on top of the stores. That's sustainable development. And it's literally in every single community. There's an organization that helped write Agenda 21 at the Earth Summit prior to that, that made it its mission to bring it into communities all over the world. It's called the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, or ICLEI. ICLEI, up until last year, was in over 600 American cities. The cities are paying dues to this organization to bring in software programs, to bring in plans, to literally indoctrinate the employees at City Hall so that the only policies they look at are these kinds of policies. And that's how widespread it is. It is everywhere.
Mm. It sounds almost like it's a quasi-governmental type of organization. Would you call it that?
Well, it's a partnership with it, and that's their purpose, is to partner with what they do is they come into the community, they bring all this information in there, they make sure that nothing but these policies are thought of, and they lay down the goals, they lay down the policies, they lay down the regulations. The county commissioners basically become a rubber stamp to put all this in place. And you go in and complain about it, and these guys are standing behind them whispering in their ear, giving them answers and so forth. They set up councils. One of the terms they use for themselves is stakeholders. You hear a lot about, we have the stakeholders, like the stakeholders are your representatives in government. That's how they actually portray themselves. These are actually organizations, non-governmental organizations that have private agendas that pop up all over the country. They travel around the country, and they immediately move into a community and start agitating that, you've got to cut back your carbon footprint, you've got to have these policies in place on building, we've got to stop urban sprawl, we've got to have utility regulations, we've got to have, on and on and on. These stakeholders make their claim. You're the stakeholder. You're the one who lives there. You're the one who voted for these people to be in office. You're the one affected by it. They're not stakeholders, but that's how they portray themselves. And they start setting up stakeholder councils. They set up non-elected boards, councils, regional governments that they are the ones manning, and they begin putting these policies in place. And what you run into as they begin to put these in place, and I show after show that I'm on, and letters I get in the mail, people are calling me, telling me the horror stories that they've had. Do you feel like government doesn't listen to you anymore? Is that something that you kind of get, that they're not listening? Well, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that.
I don't think there is much real rapport between government and the people anymore. I do think they're two separate entities that are at odds against each other. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And the reason for that is because these stakeholder groups have driven this wedge in there. The people no longer have input. They no longer have a say. If you go to your county commissioner, your city councilman, and say, this policy you just put in place about energy use, that's killing my business. I can't afford it. You know what they'll say to you? Well, I don't have anything to do with it. You'll need to go down to the planning commission and talk to them. Who's on the planning commission? The stakeholder groups, the non-governmental organizations that set it up in the first place, and they don't care what you have to say. They've got their agenda, and that's how it operates.
Yeah. And these non-governmental organizations are big corporations, is that correct?
No. There's a partnership. That's the other E in the three E's. That's economic prosperity. That's public-private partnerships, and you do have those. You have them with Monsanto. You have them with Walmart. You have them, major corporations. What they do is they get special tax breaks. They get maybe land to build on that nobody else could, that sort of thing. They get special privileges because they play ball with them. For example, in return for getting lots of these special privileges, Walmart, for example, now has these big grocery stores in them, which are putting other grocery stores out of business, but they announced last year or so, maybe a couple years ago, that they were now only going to accept food grown on sustainable farms. That's sustainable development, putting this in place. Sustainable farms, by the way, are not organic farms. Sustainable farms are farms where the farmer is told, here's how much energy you're allowed to use, here's how much water you're allowed to use, basically here's how much or what kind of products or crops you're allowed to grow. Very, very controlled. If you look into the real details of these plans, like I mentioned smart growth, the smart growth plans for the community, if you look deeply into those plans, you will find what they call farm sheds. And what that means is certain areas, smart growth puts a line around the community and says no development will take place outside of that. Now they start putting these farming sheds right there on the edge of the community. And the idea of a true smart growth community is that everything you consume in that community is created in that community. Nothing is shipped in. And the best way to explain that is, do you like bananas? Because if you do, kiss them goodbye. Live in a place where they grow. You know? And that's literally how they're looking at it. They're going back. Another thing, sustainable farming practices. I've got an incredible photograph. I wish I could show it to you. It is a photograph, an AP photograph, taken at a Michigan State University Agricultural Expo, to show farmers the new methods of sustainable farming. You know what the photograph is? It's a photograph of two oxen in a yoke pulling a plow. That's sustainable farming. There's up in Vermont, there is a farm up there a college up there that teaches sustainable farming. They have an entire herd of oxen. They literally are looking at creating communities, going back to Davy Crockett, as sustainable. That's how nuts this stuff is.
So is that this doesn't apply for a large corporations like Monsanto, does it?
Well, it's funny how all that works together, because you look at their rhetoric, and what I just explained is what their rhetoric is. Mm-hmm. Then you look at their actions, and then you see that they are and we're having this exact fight right here in the county I live in, Fauquier County, Virginia, where a small farmer, an organic farmer, somebody who literally should be the poster child for these people that they would be thrilled over, buy local farming and all that, but they are making regulations. We just came from the state legislature trying to protect these farms, and instead the state legislature, with the leadership of the Association of Counties and the Farm Bureau and others involved in this, to change the rule, which would make it much more easy for Monsanto and big corporate farms to exist rather than the local farm. So they're talking out of both sides of their mouth on this. So, which also makes it hard to trail.
That makes absolute sense to me because the government has been working now with Monsanto and other corporations like this, but Monsanto is really in the forefront of farming and land grabbing and all over the world. And so I am not surprised that they are talking out of both sides of their mouth, as you say. I think this is a ruse to create better opportunities for large corporations and to put the smaller farmers out of business. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. This whole concept of public-private partnerships, government in partnership with business, what you end up with there is business gets the power of government, and government gets to hide behind the independence of business. Oh, it isn't me, it was them. You know, I didn't do it, this is them.
Right.
What this is, it's right out of the Mussolini fascist playbook from Mussolini, you know, in Italy before World War II. And it's right straight out of that. You know, the difference between socialism and fascism is socialism is more honest. It says nobody owns anything. We're going to fascism is a big lie. It says, oh, yeah, everything's still in your name, but we control what happens there. And sustainable development is a mixture of fascism, socialism, and corporatism. So, you know, it's all three of them put together, and it's you take all the worst possibilities, you know, combined into one policy, and that's what you get with sustainable development.
I think that it's also a great way to label something so that ecologists and the Green Party and other folks who believe that this could be something good for, quote unquote, good for the planet, immediately have a knee-jerk reaction to it as a positive thing. It's double speak.
It is doublespeak out of 1984 in its highest form. Everything sounds so nice. And the interesting thing is that as we've gone through, you know, we talk about smart growth, we talk about sustainable development, we talk about you know, view sheds and watersheds and wetlands and all this sort of thing. And in the talks that I give, usually I'll go through about 35 of these terms. Well, the American Planning Association, which is in an absolute panic because we're making progress and exposing this, the first thing they did was organize what they called a boot camp to train their people how to counter us. And you talk about doublespeak. You know, they start talking about, well, we want to engage everyone and let everybody have their say. Then they came out with what they called a glossary for the public. And amazingly, the opening line of this thing says, when discussing and promoting planning, what is said and what is not said are equally important. And throughout this book, this glossary, they go through, here are words you shouldn't use anymore, talking to the planners, because this is what makes our opponents see red. And it's basically the same list that I use in my talk. So, and I have joked that eventually they won't be able to make their presentations without using sign language because they'll have no words left. So, you know, but you've got to question a policy. I don't care what your position is on protecting the environment and all that. If you're dealing with people who are working behind the scenes, out of sight of the public, they start changing the terms so you don't know what it is, trying to hide what they're doing, you have got to question what's going on here, no matter what your position is on anything else.
Definitely. I think this is something everybody should learn about, and I encourage everybody to go and check this out, the NFRA. And we'll come back to this. Tom, we have to take a commercial break. This is Gadsden Rising. I'm Libby Gadsden with Mary Lou Van Houten, our co-host and producer. And Tom DeWeese is our special guest today, and we'll be right back.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty Stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's First Production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Hey, Freedom S, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Rob Nellen Live is a show exposing the fallacy of the right-left paradigm while promoting liberty and freedom. A plethora of guests will challenge the establishment, mainstream media, the New World Order, and hopefully you. Listen to Rob Nellen Live Sundays between 3 and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, this is Ron with Ron's Media Maker. I would like to invite you to listen to my show every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for our international listeners, that's 1,800 hours to 2,200 hours Greenwich Mean Time right here on Freedomizer Radio. Always interview a broad spectrum of guests ranging from entrepreneurs to the eclectic. I also like to keep you up to date on the latest breaking news in geopolitics, world events, astronomy, technology, science, and how it relates to the 21st century and an emerging global order. Be sure to visit our website at freedomizerradio.com, take part in our lively chat room, visit our sponsors, or read breaking news articles on our Twitter feed. You can also find out more about the wide variety of shows and hosts at freedomizerradio.com. If you'd like to comment or speak with the guests during the show, just give us a call at 347-324-3704.
You're listening to Freedomizer Radio at freedomizerradio.com. Join us in the chat room. You can also listen and participate by calling 347-324-3704. Like Freedomizer Radio on Facebook and follow Libby Gadsden on Facebook. We're back.
Well, thank you, Mary Lou. This is Gadsden Rising. I'm Libby Gadsden with our special guest, Tom DeWeese. He is the president of the American Policy Center, and Mary Lou Van Houten, our co-host and producer. And I just want to tell our audience that they can go to AmericanPolicy.org to learn more about what Tom DeWeese is talking about today. And Tom, tell us about the American Policy Center. And you're the president of the American Policy Center. Did you help create this group, or was this already existing? Tell us about the American Policy Center.
No, I founded it back in 1986, and we started out as a foreign policy center, and we were working with freedom fighters around the world. We worked with Jonas Savimbi and UNITA in Angola. We worked with the Contras in Nicaragua. We sponsored the only privately funded election observation team to go into Panama in the I think it was the 1988 elections, when Noriega literally stole that election. Not a single ballot was ever counted in there, but we were there. And
okay,
so those are the kind of things we were doing back then. I changed the name, I guess maybe about 1988, to American Policy Center because I wanted to work on domestic issues. And we got, from that point, heavily involved in trying to stop the massive transformation of our education system away from, you know, that's when they put in Goals 2000, school to work, workforce development. The Department of Education just literally took over education. And we did all we could to stop it, and obviously failed at that attempt. But We also have worked on issues trying to stop the creation of a national ID card. In fact, the day before 9/11, I was in a national news conference with 10 other organizations celebrating that we had stopped the creation of a national ID card. The next day, we lost everything. You know, those are the kind of issues that we've been working on. We've had a little bit better success on the issue of Agenda 21. We worked on this issue for 18 years, mostly with farmers, people in the timber industry, people out in the West, people who lived in open areas with small populations were the first areas targeted because they had little opposition. They could do that. So we were working with those people then, watching the timber industry be destroyed in this country, watching whole towns die, watching ranchers losing their ranches, you know, that sort of thing. But it was about 2 years ago that the issue finally began to be noticed in the cities, and people were starting to feel the effects of it, and thank goodness for the Tea Party movement. They picked it up, and now it is, you know, we've really made some great progress. I mentioned ICLEI earlier, that 600 American cities, their goal was to reach 1,000 cities by 2015. Well, in the last year and a half, 2 years, we have managed to knock out at least 150 cities. We didn't knock them out. The people living there have risen up and stopped them from paying dues to ICLEI and starting the battle to reverse this thing.
Excellent. And it sounds like you were another victim of 9/11, from what you were saying earlier. Would you agree?
Well, all of Americans were. I mean, you know, we had succeeded in stopping programs. We knew using the driver's license, the plans were there to make it a national ID card, eventually put a chip in it that makes it your bank account, your credit card, your, you know, your entire life in this one thing. And we were arguing that if everything is in one place, if a bureaucrat somewhere makes one mistake on your record, how are you going to fix it? And, you know, and then having to show all this for every single thing you do. And we were actually working, Senator Richard Shelby in Alabama moved to, there were three different bills that were passed in, I think it was 1996, I believe it was, three different bills, immigration reform, welfare reform, and a health care reform bill that all had the same paragraphs in them, the same sections that literally laid the groundwork for using a central identification number, a central ID, in order to get welfare or you know, being an immigrant in immigration, whatever. And we recognized that as a creation of a national ID card. He very quietly got those three things removed from those laws, and that's what we were celebrating, that we had achieved that. And then 9/11 comes along, and they pulled all of it out of the closet, and, well, we have to do all this to protect us from terrorists, and so here we are.
Oh, yeah. That 9/11 definitely accomplished quite a few things for the powers that be, I think.
Yep,
and
sure did.
We learn every day more and more about what happened after 9/11. Going back to Noriega, do you think that the election was U.S. controlled with Noriega?
No, I don't. I was there as an observer. Jimmy Carter was there. And, you know, which says absolutely nothing. But people ask me how bad the corruption was in that election, and my answer is it was so bad that eventually even Jimmy Carter could see it. while we were investigating things, you talk about an election set up for fraud. Their whole system, first of all, you know how we have these kind of what they call a bedsheet ballot, where you've got everything on one piece of paper, and you know, if you're lucky to have a piece of paper, and you know, you fill it out and you put it in a ballot box. Well, in Panama, you'd walk into the ballot box, into the voting booth, and there was a trough there, and each candidate had their own ballot. And so what you'd do is go in and pull the ballots out, the people you wanted to vote for. You'd put those in an envelope and then drop that in the ballot box. Well, conveniently, Noriega figured this out. Just don't deliver the opposition ballots. And
that's what he did.
And we traveled with the opposition candidates. I've got incredible photographs. Most of their voting areas are open air outside. And people, they wanted the people to stay there and not leave, and they, hopefully get the ballots there. And I've got these incredible photographs of these opposition leaders coming into this throng of people and putting their arms up in the air and the people rushing to them. And, you know, they say, stay here, don't leave, please don't leave. And all over the country, that's what was happening. And you talk about, you know, people who wanted to vote, people who wanted to vote out the government, and they were showing it. We saw it. And then the other thing they did was the rule was, the law was, that you could not leave your voting precinct on election day. And so you had to stay right there. You couldn't travel. So conveniently, they would put somebody's voting precinct somewhere else in another part of town. They weren't allowed to travel there. So that was another thing. For years, I had these documents. So the incredible thing was, the next day after the election, and not a single ballot was ever counted in that election, but I had a government newspaper that says Noriega wins by 65%. Really? Based on what? it wasn't the U.S. government. It was the next year the U.S. government came in and knocked him out. So it wasn't controlled by the U.S. government. This was just straight old tyrannical dictator fraud who didn't want any opposition.
Now, speaking of all this, tell me what you think about the American elections.
How do you have 140% response? You know. How do you have 100% all voting for one? I don't care where you are or what neighborhood you live in. There's somebody there who didn't like the guy somewhere, you know. I do think that we've experienced with these voting machines and other things. In my own native Ohio, I was told of situations where buses would roll up and people who couldn't even speak English in Ohio, for crying out loud, coming into the polling places. And, you know, you're not allowed to have somebody else in the polling place with you in the voting booth, but these people would go right in with them and say, no, you know, here, and filling it out. So, what was it, South Carolina, that the Attorney General of the United States moved in to stop them from cleansing their voter rolls before the election, which is a standard thing to do to make sure it's nice and clean, and you know, moves in to stop that. I mean, this kind of thing all over the country really tells you a lot, I think. And I think there was massive fraud in this election.
Yes, I think so too. Well, I think it happened back with George Bush Jr. Definitely, there was a problem when we all saw the fracas going on in Florida with his brother as the governor, and the Chad incidents, and then Gore finally conceding way before any of his supporters were willing to let him concede. Would you say that was? That's right.
I'm sorry. What was the question?
Oh, sorry to interrupt you. Kerry conceded quickly too.
What I'm saying is, I think that we had election fraud. There was definitely back when George Jr. was elected as president. I think we had massive election fraud. Would you agree, Tom?
I think we've had massive election fraud. Especially since we have started using voting machines. Computerized voting machines, those terrify me. And this is not a place for technology. This is a place where every vote needs to be counted, and that you've got to have a very sound system to go back and recount if that's what needs to be done. And now you have no, there can't be a recount. There's no recourse. It's the same computer chip, you know, the same same readout, and it's not going to change. There's nothing to go back and check. And it's been demonstrated too many times how easy it is to fix that software so it, you know, gives two votes for one guy and one vote for the other or whatever. And that's just, that just is one place where there should be absolutely no technology of that kind. You've got to have it so it's step by step by step that you can go back and have recourse.
Mm-hmm. Would you say paper ballots are the best, Tom?
Yes, I think that's the only thing. What else is there, you know,
yeah.
that doesn't involve something else? I mean, in Florida with the hanging chads and all that, that was a machine doing that. It wasn't poking through. So obviously it's flawed. Somebody putting an X next in a square on the ballot is pretty clear, you know.
Right.
So
I think there should even be a thumbprint next to it. You can identify who it was, so we don't have multiple voting.
For a long time I resisted the idea of ID and all that in there, but in this last election it was interesting that in the states that had voter ID, Obama lost. In the states they didn't, that's when he won. So I think that's a very significant report.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is, too. Certainly, those of us who work for the Ron Paul campaign have been very aware of this. Tell us about your involvement with Ron Paul and his campaign. You were telling me off the air that you were involved with Ron Paul before he became cool.
He was known in Congress as Dr. No, because he said no to everything that was coming up. And he would put in bills, and we would work to support them. This was 10 years before he ran for office, when he couldn't get anybody to co-sponsor a bill. They just paid no attention to Ron Paul. But yet we knew him to be an honorable man and certainly the best constitutionalist in Congress. And I joked that I felt like we were the branch office for Ron Paul because every bill we were supporting was his. And in 2000, when the UN was having its Millennium Summit, we had a news conference on Capitol Hill. It was covered by C-SPAN. My organization sponsored it. And we delivered 500,000 petitions, 3.5 skids of petitions. It's what we call the Declaration of Independence from the United Nations, and it was in support of Ron Paul's bill, H.R. 1146, to get us out of the UN. And he was there at our news conference, and that was just kind of that's the kind of things we were doing back then. That was before he ran for president, and most people hadn't heard of him. But we were working with him very closely through all that.
What do you think about Ron Paul running under the Republican ticket? Did you feel that was a good thing, or do you feel he should have stayed a Libertarian candidate?
Well, I think he made the right decision. I think we have to work to reform the Republican Party. I wish we could throw them on the street and just walk over them. They're worthless. But they have set up the regulations on elections and on political parties in this country that literally trying to run a third-party candidate is almost impossible. They've just made all the rules against that. And, the Republicans and the Democrats get their ballot spot in every single state no matter what. But if you're a third party, then you've got to prove every single time that you've got support, you've got all, you've signed all these petitions, all these hoops you have to jump through to get on the ballot. And even the Libertarian Party is not in every single state. And so it just... I think how he saw it, and I agree with him, that you have to run in the one established party, and if you're going to get a fair shake, then you've got to reform it. You've got to win and take it over. And I know he's not done yet. He may not, he's out of office and may not run for president again, but I know he's dedicated to continuing the efforts that he started. He's got these cadres of people. He's the only candidate in the country, the only politician in the country that's got these cadres of supporters, passionate supporters. And I know he's going to spend his time now trying to build on that and, continue the effort to try to change the Republican Party. And I think that's the best way to go.
Yeah, I think that both Mary Lou and I would agree with you that the Republican Party needs to be radically reformed and rejuvenated and re-energized. It's, would you agree with that, Tom?
Oh, absolutely. and it's they're just the Republican leadership really, I mean, how do you have a party that, you know, is the Republican National Committee, and it's run by people who are Republican in name only? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That these people have control of it, but that's the case. And the fact that the ones who led us to literally what everybody considered to be an absolute disastrous election get reappointed or rehired or reelected in their positions, that is outrageous. And but I do know that there are a lot of good grassroots people that are working from that, from the bottom up, trying to change these things. And
I think Mary Lou's one of them.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, definitely. So do you believe in the two-party system, Tom, or do you feel that we should have multiple parties more involved in the election process and in the governmental process?
Well, I think we should have multiple parties. I think the party should stand for what you believe in, period.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, so the candidates you elect, the policies that you're pursuing are that. And the only reason, again, going back to it, the only reason I'm saying that working inside the Republican Party is because of the way the laws are set up. And it becomes nearly impossible to have the third or fourth or fifth parties to have any impact. I don't like it that way. And in fact, you know, our founding fathers, most of them, particularly Thomas Jefferson, didn't like political parties in the first place. We shouldn't have them. And you know, then the Federalists became such a power that he had to create his party to try to counter it. And then we're off and running, and it's still the same thing today. But you know, there have been parties like the Federalists, like the
Constitutional Party.
Prior to that, the Whigs. Back before Lincoln, the Whigs became literally what the Republican Party is today. It stood for nothing, and people got rid of it, and they created a Republican Party supposedly with ideas, and slowly but surely it's morphed into the same thing, and I would like very much to see the Republican Party die. And never raise its ugly head again. But like I said, they've made laws which didn't exist when the Whigs went out of existence that now make it very difficult. So it's, you know, what is the right thing to do? I'd like to see the Republicans die, but you know, if we can get in there somehow and fix it, but the first start would be to get rid of the leadership and. A lot of work has to be done to achieve that.
Mm. Yes. Are there inroads being made? Is there progress being made toward that goal, Tom?
Well, I would have said yes prior to the last convention. They passed this new ruling in the Republican Party that literally wipes out the efforts by grassroots people. I can't tell you exactly what it says. I just know that people probably have followed this know. They put these new rules in that basically strengthen the power of the National Committee to decide who delegates are and how that's all done instead of, the state conventions and so forth, the local conventions have we're choosing delegates, and Ron Paul people were getting in there and getting their people on as delegates. One of the things that Ron Paul's people attempted to do, even with Romney winning the primaries, was selecting the actual individuals who were chosen as the delegate, even the Romney delegate. They were required to vote for Romney on the first ballot at the convention.
Mm-hmm.
But Ron Paul's people were making sure that they were actually Ron Paul people. So if they could prevent Romney from getting the nomination on the first ballot, then Ron Paul would have walked in with it because all the second votes would have gone to him. That was their strategy. That's what they were trying to do, which I think was brilliant. But the Republican Party saw this, and so they made some changes that would prevent that from happening. So I don't know all the details to it, but that's the basic story to it.
A lot of our guests have said that they felt that he made a mistake in joining the Republican Party exactly because of those reasons. And so some people feel he should have stayed with a third party and had more liberty to run as an independent candidate rather than being controlled by a corrupt party that it's best to do everything to prevent him from winning, which, of course, I think he would have if they had not been crooked.
Well, I agree, and I'm not arguing with that. I would not, if I were sitting with some of the people who said that, we wouldn't be in a big argument over it.
No, I don't think
But there's this point, and I think this is Ron Paul's point as well. How much news did the Libertarian Party or the Constitution Party or even the Green Party get in the campaign? They're not even included in the debates. By him running as a Republican, he was at least included in the debates. He became a national figure because of that. Unless you've got a candidate that's got a huge amount of money to be able to run a viable campaign, then you're just relegated to the back bench. There was a back in the early days of the Libertarian Party, there was a candidate who had his own money. I think it was 76. And what was his name? I actually met him.
Are you talking about Mary Lou?
Libertarian candidate. No, this is before him.
I know. Mary Lou might know about this.
I keep wanting to call him Magoo, and that's anyway, he had his own money, he had his own airplane, and he was able to grant, and he ran a very viable campaign for a brand new startup third party.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, libertarians haven't had that kind of money, and so they don't get a chance to have that impact. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're not talking. Are we talking about Ross Perot, Mary Lou?
No. This was Ross Perot ran. He created his own party, basically. Yeah.
92. Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about 76. 1976.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Back in 76. Okay.
Yeah. I'm very old.
That's a good thing. We need our elders to help us move forward. So this is Gadsden Rising. We're going to take a commercial break, Tom. I'm Libby Gadsden. We're with Tom DeWeese. He is the president of the American Policy Center. And I'm with Mary Lou Van Houten, our co-host and producer. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
AntiWarTea.com is to promote anti-war activism, unlocking minds and shattering paradigms. By purchasing one of these T-shirts, you become an anti-war activist. www.antiwartea.com, bringing peace and human rights to the mainstream. Buy it, wear it, become it. Anti-War Tea.
There's a saying that the only thing certain in life is death and taxes. Well, they should include hard drive failure as well. You can ensure your data is safe by using Maximum Archive's online backup solution. By securely backing up the Maximum Archive servers, your data is protected from fire, theft, or simple hard disk failure. Don't let your data go unprotected. Sign up for Maximum Archive today. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout time and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
Hello, everyone. Bruce here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea is right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk. with the dog, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey, campers, your Uncle Scott here asking you to join me this Friday at 9 o'clock Pacific time right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. This week we're going to interview a retired police officer. We're going to discuss various situations in which you may encounter a peace officer and review what your rights are, what their rights are, what you can and cannot say, or what you should and should not say. You want to avoid escalating a situation that doesn't need to. There's a lot of advice out there on the internet. I think some of it is erroneous and encourages bad encounters between citizens and officers. We'll also discuss the Patriot Act, gun rights, and pretty much, you know, the Constitution and your rights as Americans. See you then.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
How do you wake up in the morning? Do you jump out of bed with a smile? Or you hit the snooze button over and over again? Tune in each Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time to Wake Up and Live. I'm your host, Christine Siegel. On my show, you will learn valuable health and wellness tips that will boost your energy levels. Are you eating a sad diet? Learn how to find quality, nutrient-dense foods. Life is what you make of it. Only you can change your life. You are that important. Join me, Christine Siegel,
and I have
Wake Up and Live here on Freedomizer Radio.
You're listening to Freedomizer Radio at freedomizerradio.com. Join us in the chat room. You can also listen and participate by calling 347-324-3704. Like Freedomizer Radio on Facebook and follow Libby Gadsden on Facebook. We're back.
Well, thanks, Mary Lou, and this is Gadsden Rising. I'm Libby Gadsden with our special guest, Tom DeWeese, president of the American Policy Center, and Mary Lou Van Houten, our co-host and producer. And Tom and I were just talking off air about the proposed Constitutional Convention for a Balanced Budget. Tom, tell us about it and what you feel about that, please.
Well, this is a growing movement that has started up, and it's being called on by conservatives. This isn't some, you know, massive left-wing conspiracy, but the idea of putting a constitutional convention together to particularly talk about the issue of getting a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution and stopping all this massive spending, by the federal government. And this movement actually started under Ronald Reagan. People wanted to get that done while he was president. And, the idea of calling a constitutional convention, you get all the delegates together, and they put this convention, this together, then you get it ratified by the states, and then it becomes an amendment to the Constitution. That's what they're calling for. But there are huge problems with that.
Mm-hmm.
And in this day and age of a government that is run by people like Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and others who believe that the Constitution is just a dead document, just an old folks, remembrance.
Right.
Piece of paper. Just it's a living document that we can change every day and change, what our rights are and everything. I find it extremely disturbing and terrifying to think that you'd put together a constitutional convention and people would come together and literally put the Constitution on an operating table and do what they want to with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the people who are promoting this just poo-poo what I just said. Ah, that won't happen. They tell you that, first of all, we'll just pass resolutions in state legislatures that say this will only be for, you can only discuss a balanced budget amendment. That's all you can talk about. So we're going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, if some bad things happen at the Constitutional Convention, well, it's got to be ratified by the states anyway, and so they can block any bad stuff that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I said, I just completed an article entitled Precedent, the Key Word in Opposing a Con-Con. Here are the precedents. First of all, the idea that, well, first of all, in Article 5 of the Constitution, there is absolutely no instructions there that tell you how you choose delegates for a con-con,
mm-hmm.
You know, in what manner you go into, or any kind of rules or regulations that they have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing
mm-hmm.
there. In this day and age, you know, Congress, once two-thirds of the states, or is it three-fourths of the states, send in a resolution saying we want a con-con, the only thing Article 5 says is that Congress then is required to act and put one
mm-hmm.
together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Congress will decide who are the delegates. Okay, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and Barack Obama. I think what we have to be is fair, so we're going to have to make sure that all these undocumented workers are represented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have this body and this group and this special interest all represented there. So that's who your delegates are going to be. Now, the question of passing a resolution that says we can only talk about a balanced budget amendment, here's the precedent from the past. When the Constitutional Convention was called in 1787, we were ruled under the Articles of Confederation.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a problem that the states had run into with interstate commerce.
Mm-hmm.
When Congress decided to allow the calling of a Constitutional Convention, it wasn't called a Constitutional Convention, it was just a meeting. We were just going to have this conference. And they gave very specific orders that said they won't talk about anything else but this issue. Second of all, only 12 states sent delegations out of the 13, and 10 of them sent very specific orders to their delegates, you will not talk about anything else. That's the precedent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now take it to today, passing a resolution saying you only talk about a balanced budget, bull. There's the precedent. And you know, what happened in 1787, the delegates came in the door at Independence Hall in Philadelphia. James Madison, standing behind them, shut the door, locked it, pulled the shades, passed out all of his ideas for a new constitution, and that's what they did. A month later, they emerged without any instructions, without obeying anybody's instructions, and they created a new constitution. We were lucky then. We had people like Benjamin Franklin and James Madison and Thomas Jefferson. We don't have them today. We have Nancy Pelosi, you know, Harry Reid, and Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the one precedent. The second thing that says that, well, if they do something bad, the states still have to ratify it. Well, get this. Article 7 of the Constitution that, by the way, at that point had not been ratified and was not law of the land. It said three-quarters of the states needed to ratify what took place. The Articles of Confederation, which were the rule of the law of the land, said 100%. Guess how many were needed in order to ratify this new Constitution that was not yet law of the land? The guidelines of Article 7. That's the precedent. So you can have a constitutional convention where all of these undocumented workers and all these special interests are the delegates. They completely write an entirely new constitution for the United States, and they might write in it, well, gee, the only people that have to ratify this are Barack Obama, or how about us as delegates, or whatever else they want to do. That's the precedent. And that's what could happen. So these are the reasons why the idea today of a constitutional convention to do what is a good thing, to balance the budget and you know, make the government live within its means and so forth. I'm not opposed to that, but this is the wrong way to do it. And for those who still think, well, we could get through, you know, we could do what we need to do, may I remind everyone Just a year ago, 75% of the people in this country were opposed to Obamacare, and they passed it anyway.
Wow.
So give me any kind of precedent that doesn't say this is a horrible idea. So that's my argument.
Okay. But what would you say about the NDAA and the Patriot Act basically nullifying the Constitution?
I agree. Absolutely agree. The Patriot Act is absolutely the worst thing that ever came down. It violates the Fourth Amendment that, you don't have the ability to be secure in your home, that they don't have to have any kind of a court order to come into your home and search it. Are you kidding?
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. I fought hard.
And the NDAA, I think, is an even worse horror. Because it specifies that you have no right to an attorney or a trial and indefinite detention on top of that, which
Absolutely.
Is a complete perversion of the Constitution. It nullifies it. And the Patriot Act was passed within 3 days after 9/11, and from what I have learned, no one was able to really read it. And they were forced to approve of it without even really being able to read it. I think Ron Paul was able to get through it, but I don't think anyone else was.
they bring these things. Sometimes they're not even written yet. And they have some kind of an outline or something. And well, we're all going to vote on. Everybody's in favor of this. Everybody votes.
We
can all go out and say
it. We know all about that. Because when we were in Atlanta, go ahead, Mary Lou. I know you have a story to tell there.
Oh no, y'all go ahead.
We were in a tavern in Atlanta, and we were trying to fight another bill that was being passed, and our representative happened to walk through with his bodyguards, I guess, and we all literally jumped on him and asked him about why he approved of this bill. And Mary Lou, you remember the details of that.
And he said,
I'm
not familiar with it. And we exclaimed, you're a co-sponsor.
You're a co-sponsor.
It was John Lewis.
He had no idea. He had no idea.
How is it that these elected officials are the most uninformed people in the United States of America?
I know.
Their answer to everything is, I don't know anything about that. What we always say is that they are completely controlled by the brats, these 20-year-old, 27-year-old aides that whose only job is to protect them from all of us, and they're the ones who make the policy. They sit there, and this congressman sits there and says, and then they give him this list and say, well, here's what you're for and here's what you're against. Okay, carry that in with you, congressman, and then just follow this. And they don't know anything about what they're doing. And it's just pathetic, and that's how this stuff is being done. On the other hand, you have the situations where the Speaker of the House will threaten you that if you do vote or vote against this, whichever the case may be, something you want won't go through, or some other dire consequence will take place. To me, that would get me to vote against them every time just because they said that. I
loved all the blowback with Justin Amash, where, Boehner was kind of penalizing him, and then the Liberty Movement just got in an uproar and backed him, and then Amash didn't back down, and I really liked that a lot.
Yeah.
To me, it was like a new, precedent.
What they don't seem to understand, on Capitol Hill, there is a whole different atmosphere in the world. But if they could only break out of that and get some fresh air and understand that when you have the guts to stand up, especially when the whole nation's screaming against you, you become a hero and you're catapulted into leadership because you took leadership. But they don't seem to get that, Of course, I'll look at Ron Paul and see what they did to him and say, no, I don't want any of that, please. there is another argument, I guess.
Well, he's got enough people who are willing to follow him. I think we've got plenty.
I don't think he's hurting too much.
No.
Yeah.
And I want to bring our audience attention to if everyone on Facebook that they can go to the page How to Stop Agenda 21 by American Policy Center, and they can join this Facebook page and learn more about it. And there's even a little booklet offered on Agenda 21 and how to stop it. So I want everyone to be aware of this. It's a 35-page booklet giving a brief but detailed overview of Agenda 21, its origins and details. So I think that's something useful for everybody. And Tom, so would you say that our representation in government is proper at this time? I mean, what do you have any opinions about our American people and their representation in government?
I think at this moment that they don't have any representation, in particularly the federal government. Barack Obama and his executive orders and his czars have literally rendered the U.S. Congress meaningless.
Right.
You know, of course, Harry Reid standing there in the Senate has blocked everything. He's working hand in hand with Obama, so the two of them together. So you've tied in where we're supposed to have separation of powers. You know, those two have tied in together to make it one, and Boehner is just capitulating to everything. He is the number one top elected Republican in this country. He is the one. If there's somebody who is going to stand up to these things, he's the one to do it. He could have a bully pulpit. He could, you know, stand up and scream bloody murder over all these things that they're doing, but he says nothing. You know, he may be working behind the scenes on some things, but he's not telling the American people. So meanwhile, the news media, which is supposed to be the fourth estate, the fourth thing that is something that stands up for people and tells the truth, supposed to be. They're all, hand in hand with Obama and Reid. And so it's all one message, and Congress has been rendered literally useless. On the other hand, the way our founding fathers created this country was that the federal government was supposed to have the least effect on our lives, and the local city councils, county commissioners were supposed to have the most.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that has changed a lot, and Congress has a whole lot more power than it should. However, that mechanism that they created is still there down underneath all this rusting by the lack of use, but it's still there. And if we want a silver bullet on how to turn things around, working on the local level is the place to go. And
absolutely,
that is what we have been doing in our efforts on Agenda 21. Working, I really haven't paid much attention to what Congress is doing on it. They already did their damage with their grant programs and so forth. But if we can get local elected officials that are neighbors living next door to us, getting things changed at that level. If you put it this way, if you're saving freedom in your community, and that happens in community after community after community, then you can save freedom nationwide, and we can render Congress useless and irrelevant, and also the president to a certain extent. And that's what we're working on. That's our strategy. The booklet you mentioned, Agenda 21 and How to Stop It, that's what it talks about. And
excellent.
We are winning. We are winning battles.
Yay!
And, they are, the baby steps. But I liken it to, in World War II on the Normandy beach in D-Day. For the first time at that point, the Western troops got a foothold in Europe and began to move inward. It was a baby step, but they had a foothold to move forward. And that's kind of where we've gotten for the first time. We didn't have it before. We didn't have elected officials that paid any attention to us. We didn't have any news media. We didn't have people saying it. If I and two or three other people weren't out speaking about this stuff, it didn't happen. It wasn't, nobody's talking about it. That's
absolutely.
The Tea Party has changed it. There are now hundreds of people talking about Agenda 21. There are meetings taking place across the country every single day. And, as I mentioned earlier, people like the American Planning Association are terrified by what is happening. They're moving to try to counter us. They're doing it with a heavy hand because they're not used to hearing these discouraging words, and that makes it easier to for us. You know, they're showing themselves in ways they never would have before, and people are seeing it. I had the New York Times did a front page Sunday article on this, and essentially the article said this. It said, all of these honest planners are just trying, working hard to do their honest work, but all these darn protesters are wasting their time. And the leader of those darn protesters is Tom DeWeese.
Oh, good.
That was the whole article.
That's a badge of honor.
It hurt me.
And just spell my name right.
This was a clumsy attempt to try to put us down, and they tried to ridicule us. They tried to call us conspiracy theorists wearing tinfoil hats. It's not working.
Right.
Our troops are growing by leaps and bounds, and it's funny because about, a year and a half or so ago, everything we were putting out for 18 years was saying, let me tell you what Agenda 21 is. Listen to me.
Yeah.
And finally, people started writing to me or calling me saying, okay, Tom, I get it. What do I do about it? And I said, gee, I don't know. I never got that far before. So we began to really look at ways to fight back effectively. What's been happening? You know, people come and listen to me or read my writings or other people, and we're talking about UN Agenda 21. And they go rushing in breathlessly accusing their city councilmen of implementing UN international policies. Well, these guys probably never heard this. They are getting their information from those NGOs whispering in their ears. They're seeing state legislation. They're seeing federal legislation. What are you talking about, United Nations? And so our troops are getting mowed down like, Lee's troops at Pickett's Charge, mowed them down in rows. So we decided we needed to change that. And here's what we've done. We have created a document that is a resolution that's called Citizens' Right or Protection of Private Property Rights. Resolution to Protect Citizens' Property Rights. And how it works is this. All it does is it defines basically what property rights are, and it calls for transparency. And, it says, if you're going to do something on my property, then I want to be part of the process. I want to be involved in the conversation. Tell me what you're going to do, inform me. That kind of thing is what it talks about. So you do it like you do this. Instead of rushing into city council and saying you're implementing Agenda 21, you go in, they give you these 3 minutes to talk, and you just say, gentlemen, I just have a question for you. As you're bringing these plans and these planners into our community, what guarantee do I have you'll protect my private property rights? And that's it. That's as vicious as it gets. You haven't attacked planning. You haven't brought up Agenda 21. And their response, I guarantee you, is going to be, oh, of course we will. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, oh, I'm a property owner, too. Of course. And you just smile at them and say, I'm really glad to hear you say that. But, gentlemen, I'd like to have it in writing. And that's what the resolution is. And that's it. And if they say they'll sign it, okay, fine. But we expect they won't. And they're going to come up, well, we can't sign that. And then you ask this very disturbing question. Why?
Okay.
So now, and this is what's explained in this booklet we have, and the documents are in there, but this is not designed to do by yourself, because you do it by yourself, you're ignored, you go away, that's the end of it. This is designed to be organized. When they say they won't sign it, then have 10 more people get up and say, why? I want you to sign this. Why not? Begin to make it an issue. Make them the issue. We talk about, these cockroaches hiding under a rock, roll the rock and put a spotlight on them. You flip the issue on them. We had a situation in Southern Virginia where we did this, and one of the county commissioners said, well, I'm not going to sign that. And why not? Well, I think there's a bigger agenda afoot here. Well, can you tell me what you mean by that? What objection do you have? Well, I'm not going to debate it with you, but I just think there's a bigger agenda here. What? you know, protect my property rights. That's what it says. Mm-hmm. And so as I was telling a group in Richmond about this, and I said, now, what we've done is we've laid the groundwork here to run a campaign to get this clown out of office.
Mm-hmm.
He is not going to support you. You need to get him out of there. So step by step, whether you've got people who show up with signs outside the city hall during the meetings saying, why won't you sign the, you know, to protect my property rights, make it the issue. Use letters to the editor, use all those kind of things to you. Then it comes down to running a candidate against him. And what do you say during that campaign? Well, this guy's got some kind of weird conspiracy theory about protecting property rights, about being against protecting property rights. You see what you've done? You've totally flipped it. You're not the one with the crazy conspiracy theory and the tinfoil hat. He is.
Mm, yeah.
So you've eliminated all those objections, and you're just going to the root, because you cannot implement Agenda 21 sustainable development without violating property rights. So go to the root of it, put it in front of them, and make them stand up there and say, I'm not going to protect your property rights. People who know nothing about Agenda 21, who aren't right-wing activists, who aren't Tea Party people, who are property owners, say, really? You won't protect my property? So
well,
that's what we've come up with.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, and thank you so much for being our guest today, Tom DeWeese. And this is Gadsden Rising, and I'm co-host and producer Mary Lou Van Houten with host Libby Gadsden. And thank y'all so much for listening, and stay tuned for Guerrilla Radio with Austin and Lisa. Bye.
Well, thank you, Mary Lou. Thanks, Tom DeWeese, and talk to you on Monday. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. And Embellus and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
You have to stand up, speak up, speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.